Last week, we were hearing part of a conversation between Jesus and a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin named Nicodemus, who comes to Jesus in the middle of the night, and he's not sure who Jesus is. He doesn't quite get why is Jesus here, what's his purpose, what's he going to do, and so there's this dialogue going on between them, and at one point, Jesus says, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Now, for a first century Jewish person, that made sense because they would understand what it connects to. What's Jesus talking about? Now, this is something that goes all the way back into the book of Exodus. Remember, we've had these multiple experiences with following the Jewish people coming out of their time in Egypt, heading towards the promised land where, you know, first they run out of food, then they're running out of water. They have already seen 10 major instances of God working miracles on their behalf that got Pharaoh to finally let them go in the first place. And then when their armies of Pharaoh coming after them, trying to drag them back in again, they see another major miracle because God does what to the Red Sea? Parts it. And then after the Israelites get through, Pharaoh's armies are trying to come through and chase after them, and God causes the sea to come back crashing down upon them and wipes out the entire army on Israel's behalf. So, you know, we've got multiple instances they have seen with their own eyes how God acts on their behalf in their times of need. So we're running out of food, we're running out of water, they're in a time of need. How do they respond? In each case, it's, well, God, what, Moses, what did you do? Did you have God have you drag us out here in the middle of the desert to die of hunger and to die of thirst? Like, you know, what's with you? And God says, okay, tell them in the morning when they get up to go outside their tent and look on the ground, and you will find food that I will provide for you, which God indeed does 6 days a week for the next 40 years. All they have to do is go out and pick it up and take it into their tent and make breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They run out of water. They do the same thing. What'd you do? Bring us out here to die of thirst. And they go to Moses whining and moaning. And God tells Moses, okay, go out here, tap that rock right there with your staff. And what happens? Here comes all kinds of water, enough to quench the thirst of them and all of their livestock and their flocks and everything else. You know, God keeps showing them, you have a need, come to me, lift your eyes up to me, and I will provide for what your need is. And they still haven't got enough yet. Because at this point, what we've got is they're complaining about the food. You know, this clever, it was in the Office of Reading just a couple of days ago as a reminder. It's like, we're sick of this wretched food. In Egypt, we had leeks, we had pomegranates, we had garlic, we had this, we had that. We had all of this stuff down here. And now we just have this lawful, nasty manna to eat. And so God sent what kind of a response this time? Are you familiar with the word chastisement? This is when God sends these fiery, as in seraph, serpents, who their venom, when you get bitten and injected with it by the serpent, causes intense burning pain, and many of them are dying because of it. And so some of them are going, you know, Moses, we need some help here. And so God tells Moses, make a bronze seraph serpent, mount it on a pole, and put it in the center of the camp up high so that if anybody gets bitten, what are they supposed to do? Look up. I think there is a subtle message in there someplace. This is what they keep failing to do every time something happens. They're not looking up to God, they're looking down. They're focused on the problem instead of the one who keeps showing them over and over and over and over and over again, turn to me. And it goes throughout the entire history of the people of Israel through the Old Testament. Every time something comes along, their attention is focused on what's down here. They're at Mount Sinai. God gives Moses these two tablets Three of them have commandments about the relationship we're supposed to have with God, and the other one has seven commandments on our relationship with each other. Which come first? Gee, I wonder if there was a message there. If we get this one right, chances are we're going to get this one right. In other words, again, turn your attention up to God. Trust God, put your faith in God. When you have a need, don't go down here. Put your attention on God. Go to God and ask for what you need. Do they get it? I mean, there are all kinds of other things that go on, and every time they keep doing the same thing. They're looking for safety. And King Ahaz, who is one of their most corrupt kings, who did not need to be in kingship, but he even sends the prophet Isaiah to him saying, no, don't go try to make an alliance with Egypt, because Babylon is coming and I will deliver you from them. Put your faith up here in me, not in a false alliance with Egypt, because they will betray you. What did they do? Ahaz made an alliance with Egypt, and when the time came and they needed help, Egypt betrayed them because their focus was down here, not trusting God. And it just, I mean, literally all the way through the Old Testament, time after time after time after time, they don't get the message. And of course, we're doing so much better. You may have heard some sarcasm in that. If you don't, let me assure you there was, because we don't do any better. And we have a whole lot more to work with. That was an event that Moses does in the Old Testament. Jesus refers to it talking to Nicodemus in the early part of John's gospel. Today's gospel is down towards the end, just before they're about to go into Jerusalem to begin the whole sequence that we start to celebrate on Palm Sunday, which is literally next Sunday, when Jesus will be lifted up. The main answer to all of humanity's deepest needs, especially the one called sin and death, is what Jesus comes to take care of by allowing himself to be arrested, falsely accused, tried, crucified, and dies. There's such a simple yet very strong message. The one who can answer our most important needs has already done so. But what do we need to learn to do still? We go looking for happiness. Where do we look? Down here. We have some sort of a need, a crisis going on in our lives. Where do we look? Down here. You know, literally, we keep looking down instead of up. So Jesus is trying to get Nicodemus to realize here's why he came. And now with today's gospel, he's getting ready to fulfill why he came. And we're still trying to learn the same lesson. Whatever our needs are, nothing here on earth can fulfill them. You might find temporary joys, temporary happinesses, but none of them will last. In fact, they will all pass away in fire at the end of time. You may try to preserve your body from all kinds of stuff by all kinds of different potions and lotions and creams and drugs and all this other stuff. Guess what? Guess what? Your body's still going to die. That might be a wake-up call. It's still going to happen. But ultimately, who has the answer to death? The one who died and who rose again. It's that constant human condition. We don't learn to look up to the one who is, not just has, but is the answer to all of our deepest, truest human needs. Even what we're doing right now is all put together and organized to help us to do that very thing. And we're called together at the beginning of Mass and brought together as a Christian people to celebrate and give praise and thanksgiving for the love of God that makes hope possible. Meant to gather us together and then do what with our attention? Lift it up. Notice the readings do not come from the New York Times or the Washington Post or Wall Street Journal or Time or Newsweek. CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, Fox. The readings come from not human word, but the word of God, which is trying to get us to do what? Next part of the Mass that's coming after finishing Liturgy of the Word is called the Offertory. It's a transition point that leads from Liturgy of the Word to Liturgy of the Eucharist. After the preparation of the bread and wine, the priest will put out an invitation, pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Almighty Father. There's a short prayer and then a dialogue between the priest and you. It starts off with, the Lord be with you. Let me try that again. The Lord be with you. And then I give a command, or whoever the priest celebrating the Mass is, gives you a command. The Latin phrase is sursum corda, lift up your hearts. Notice, lift up your hearts. Not sit them down on the floor or under the pew, lift your hearts up. And you respond with saying what? We lift them up to the President of the United States. God help us. Did I say that out loud? No, literally, but you know, if we lift them up to the Lord, and then let us give him thanks and praise. And it's meant to turn our attention and lift them up to the one who literally is giving us the answer and fulfilling the needs that we have as human beings because of what we can't do for ourselves. And it's constantly, it's built in all around. You know, when Jerusalem is built, it's sitting down deep in a valley somewhere. Where is Jerusalem? It's sitting on a mountaintop. When Moses went to get the Ten Commandments, did he go down into a valley? No, he was up on top of Mount Sinai. The Transfiguration, that was the gospel passage for Second Sunday of Lent. Where did Jesus go with Peter, James, and John? Up a mountain. You know, it's constant. It's everywhere. It's look up to God. The way churches are built, is the sanctuary down in a pit? Low? Yeah. It's up to get us to do what? Lift up. Crucifixes in a Catholic church, are they laying down on a floor? No. I actually had somebody complain to me when we put the crucifix in here several years ago. You put it up high and I have to look up to see it. Yeah? Like, hello? It's this, you know, again, but it's manifesting that struggle that we have as humans. We keep looking down, trying to find our answers and get our needs fulfilled, and it's the wrong direction. It's lift our eyes, our hearts, our minds up. And notice, you know, if we go through Holy Week and through Good Friday and come to Easter, Jesus has been laid in a tomb, but what's going to happen? Is he going to go down? He's going to be raised up. And 40 days after the resurrection, he's going to descend. What is the event we celebrate 40 days after the resurrection? Jesus ascends, goes up. So again, you think maybe there's some sort of a subtle message that's woven into the warp and weave, the fabric of all that we're doing as God's people, is trying to get us to learn the most basic, simple, and important lesson. No matter what the circumstances are going on in our lives right now, as individuals, as a parish, as a people, as a nation, stop looking down. Nothing down here can fulfill your needs. And I mean the most basic ones. Nothing down here will save you. Nothing down here will deliver you from death. And I'm not talking about the death that puts you in the grave. I'm talking about the kind of death that separates you forever from God. There's only one who can do it, and to find him, look up. It's a lesson humanity has been struggling to learn since Adam and Eve. So think about that as we progress into the offertory and we get to that little simple command that's built in there, after the Lord be with you. And the priest says, lift up your hearts and remember it every day, every moment, in every situation, in every circumstance. The direction to look is not down here on earth, but look up to God. Lay your needs before him. He can deal with them. Lay your sorrows at his feet. He can deal with them. Lay your trials and troubles and tribulations at his feet. He's the one who will help you. Put your life at his feet, because he will take this earthly life. And when he comes again, raise up your earthly body, reunite with your soul, and you will raise up into the eternal kingdom of God. But we have to learn to look up. Hopefully I planted that in there. Look up. Look up to the one who wants to raise you up into his presence forever.